And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Wait a minute, I just put on my headphones.
Well,
all right.
You should have put them on sooner.
I know, but I'm a radio professional and I can do it at the very last second. Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful weekend and are enjoying the overcast weather out there. I know Jerry is loving every second of it because he lives up there on Twin Peaks where they get the most of it. So settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is, was, and always will be an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation. It's very, very important to us. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. We hope you will do that very soon. All you have to do is call 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Jerry likes my introduction, so I guess I'm the H. Allen Smith of the 21st
I wouldn't go that
century.
Far.
Oh, no? Okay. And maybe the London Lee of the 21st century. I don't know. Again, that's 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. That's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, it's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have an idea for a question or a comment about the show, feel free anytime. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it today. Simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of this show because you enjoyed it so much, you want to listen to it again, you can get that at kalw.org. And I know it will be done to the absolute perfection that only Debbie Kennedy can muster. So that should be available after the show, along with some of our older shows. So again, that's kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. It's just Jerry and I tonight. So we will be able to take all the more of your questions out there. Jerry Nachman got hacked this week by Bangladesh scammers who locked his computer for a day unless he forked over $300 for security protection, just like the mafia. Jerry's heroic computer doctor stopped the bleeding, outconned the scammer, and told Jerry to take two emails and call him in the morning.
I am a whole man again.
It's a protection racket.
It is exactly that.
Yeah.
I realized that. I said, this is criminal extortion. Mm. They were undaunted by any my outrage. They've heard everything.
I guess so.
Anyway, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes to announce that the Minds Over Matter panel has been offered asylum in Ecuador based largely on the amount of incorrect answers we gave on last week's show.
Yes. So we'll try to do better this week, and perhaps we can take the asylum at a later date. So we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Thank you. Well, the famous Dragnet theme that we all know, dum-da-dum-dum, mm-hmm. actually has a title. What is it? I don't think it has lyrics, but it does have a title.
But it was written expressly for that show.
Yeah, by
I know it was a pretty well-known composer. That
one of those German-Jewish, brilliant German-Jewish composers, Max Steiner, Franz or Max or Hans or
Eric Wolfgang Korngold.
Somebody, yeah, someone like that, yeah.
All right. Huh.
There's about six of them. They're all equally.
More than that. So it has a name. Does the name have any bearing on the,
yeah.
how, what it was written for?
Yeah.
So it's, you,
very
I mean,
much.
If I said theme to Dragnet, that would not be the name.
No, that wouldn't be it. That's,
okay. You know. How about down these mean dark streets?
No.
All right. Read the question.
It's pretty obscure, but anyway, it's fun to know. The famous Dragnet theme, dum da dum dum, actually has a title. What is it? And it's not dum da dum dum.
Okay. And all right, let me do.
It's a two-word title. I'll give you.
Oh,
that.
A two-word title.
Yeah.
All right. But Dragnet doesn't appear in the title anywhere.
No.
Okay. All right. What two famous stage and movie stars were first offered the leads in the stage play My Fair Lady?
Stage play?
Well, the original play on Broadway, yeah. The musical.
Yeah. Oh.
You have to get them both.
Before Julie Andrews.
And Rex Harrison, yes.
And Rex Harrison. Oh, gosh. I couldn't even guess for it.
All right. Very famous. Very famous people.
As famous as, well, Julie Andrews wasn't famous at the time, but
yeah, I went more famous.
As famous as Harrison?
More famous.
More famous?
Yes, more famous.
And they were British?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
So, what two very famous stage and movie stars, and they were stage and movie stars, were first offered the leads in the original production of My Fair Lady on Broadway? And it was turned. They were turned down. They declined, I should say.
Yeah, some of these, who was originally selected for this or that role, you know, is a little apocryphal.
I will say that the...
Because a lot of times they ask 17 people first.
I've seen this in different places. Okay. And I will say that the person who was originally offered the role of Professor Higgins turned it down and recommended Rex Harrison.
Oh.
So.
How about George Sanders?
No. That's a good guess.
Yeah. He would have been good in
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Second question. What was the first song, the first Academy Award winning best song to also win a Grammy Award for best song written for visual media? So, in other words, it was the, not only won the best song, the Academy Award for best song, it also won the Grammy Award the same year.
Oh, the same year.
For best song written for visual media, which means film.
And that's never happened before?
That had never happened previous to this. And I will say it was in the 1960s. Okay?
All right. Got to ponder all these.
All right. So once more, what two very famous stage and movie stars were first offered the leads in My Fair Lady, the original Broadway play, musical, I should say? And what was the first song to win the Academy Award for, not only to win the Academy Award for Best Song, but also to win the Grammy Award for Best Song Written for Visual Media? It was in the 1960s. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, City.
Hello.
I know the answer is right, but...
Oh, good.
It was called Danger Ahead.
Very good.
Danger Ahead.
I figured you might be the only guy that would actually know the answer to that.
Yeah.
So you composed it. That was composed by Dumb to Dump. That was composed by Nicholas Rorschach. But the remaining thing was composed by Walter Schumann.
That's it, Walter Schumann. Oh.
Yeah, that resulted in a lawsuit, by the way, because Nicholas Rorschach claimed that Walter Schumann stole the Dumb to Dump Dump. And as a result, both composers got credit.
Yeah, that was from a movie. What was the name of the movie?
It was from The Killers.
Yeah, The Killers, right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I know the one, a question about the Grammy. Was it Moon River?
It was not Moon River.
Oh, even though, I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
What did Isaac Hayes and Helen Reddy have in common in 1971?
Who and Helen Reddy?
Isaac Hayes and Helen Reddy. Yeah. What do they have in common?
In 71?
No.
1971.
They both had a summer TV show.
No.
Summer replacement show.
No.
I remember Helen Reddy did.
Right, she did.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, I don't know.
1971.
Yeah, give up?
They have a song in common?
Well, you're on the right track in a way.
No, that was later than Shaft, so, no, we don't know.
They both had cover versions of songs of which the original verses were on the Billboard Hot 100 single chart at the same time.
Of the same? Did you say the same song?
Yeah, well, there was different versions because Isaac Hayes had a cover of "Never Is a Good Say Goodbye" at the same time as the Jackson 5, and Helen Reddy had a cover of "I Don't Know How to Love" that was on with a version from the cast album "Jesus Christ Superstar" by Yvonne Elliman.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
here's my second question. Mm-hmm. What were the two feature films that John Wayne appeared with Dana Andrews and his brother Steve Forrest separately? That is.
Well, he appeared with Dana Andrews in Harm's Way.
Yes, give yourself a bow.
Thank you. And Steve Forrest. Ooh, boy. Harder.
It was a war film, too.
I didn't know they were brothers.
Yeah.
They were brothers.
Yeah. Steve Forrest is still alive, isn't he?
No, he died about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, 3 weeks ago. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Send a card.
It was in black and white.
Black and white. Was it 50s?
No, early 60s.
Oh, boy. Early 60s. No, not that one.
No, well, that's not the longest day.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right. That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody was in that. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. There are now a couple books out on Superman, this being his 75th anniversary. Mm. Superman actually began as a character in a story in a sci-fi magazine that the creators Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster ran off on a mimeograph machine at their school. What was the essential difference between that Superman, whose name was hyphenated, Super-Man, and the later Superman we all know, who debuted in Action Comics a few years later?
So you want the difference between the very first version of Superman and the one that...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is... I'm sorry, this is previous to the first comic book?
This was... They published a sci-fi magazine that they ran off on a mimeograph machine at their school. It wasn't a commercial.
Okay.
But that, it was called Superman. It was Super-Man. I mean, that's one difference, but I'm looking for a bigger difference than that.
Okay. Was he not from a distant planet?
That's not the answer. I don't have... I think he actually was.
Okay.
Hmm. But I'm not sure about that. But that's not the essential,
all right,
most essential difference.
Okay. And, all right, let me do another question here. So I'm going to give you, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different places or original where the first of this thing existed in the United States. And I want you to tell me the city it was. OK, so, for instance, where was the first Ferris wheel in the United States? What city? Where was the first aquarium in the United States? Where was the first opera house in the United States? Where was the first revolving restaurant in the United States? And where was the first subway in the United States? So what I'm looking for, the cities, the various cities, there are no repeats here, where these things happened for the first time. So where are the? Where was the first Ferris wheel in the U.S.? Where was the first aquarium in the United States? Where was the first opera house in the United States? Where was the first revolving restaurant in the U.S.? And where was the first subway in the U.S.?
Well, I think the first revolving restaurant was in the Space Needle in Seattle.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
The others would be, Opera House would probably be in the Old West, because they always showed opera houses.
No, they did do that, but no, it wasn't in the Old West.
It was not in the Old West.
No.
And the others, Ferris wheel, well, obviously wouldn't be Coney Island.
It's not Coney Island.
Ferris wheel. Is it an unlikely place?
No. There's quite a logical reason for it.
Okay, I'll say Subway was in Boston.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right. Very okay. good. Yes, the first Subway was in Boston, 1897. Yes. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you, yes.
Super. Great. Thanks. Hi, this is Flora from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi. The music question, that wasn't Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, was it?
No, but you're chronologically quite close.
Oh, man. Okay. And just one more thought about the Ferris wheel. Was that Chicago?
It was, the Chicago World's Fair, 1893. Oh. Very good.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
What year?
1893.
Oh, okay.
Very good. Okay. And if you'd like to join us, we do have some lines open right now at area code 415-841-4134. Our lines are, we have a couple of lines open at 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is just the two of us, Jerry Nachman, a well-known Bay Area author. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And, all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
How about the Oscar song, The Shadow of Your Smile?
Again, a very good guess, the right decade, but no.
What? I don't know if this is radio or television, but it's...
This is radio.
I have a question coming.
Oh, okay, all right, sorry.
Prefacing this, I can totally figure out your response. Anyway, so what personality went to college at Subnormal Normal?
College personality?
Well, he wasn't a college personality.
Was this his? Is this a real place, or is this just a part of a shtick?
And he's telling people that when he went to school, it's Subnormal Normal.
Oh.
And basically, you know, he's a funny guy.
Well, I know in Rocky and Bullwinkle, Bullwinkle went to school at Way Below Normal.
It's so funny because now it's enriching what I learned. Basically, Spike Jonze was, when he was doing either radio or television, he would do these routines, and he was from Subnormal.
Oh, okay. Spike Jonze.
Okay.
Yeah.
We always like Spike Jonze questions.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm staying tuned to find out about My Fair Lady.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, now, this one, the My Fair Lady question, let me just go back on that. You say they were both stage and screen stars.
Yes.
Had they been stage stars and were then movie stars, or were they still on stage?
They
at
had
that
already
time?
Been both stage and screen stars.
And they were big, bigger than Harrison, huh?
Yes, I would say, yes. And the female, of course, was considerably bigger than Julie Andrews because she wasn't really that
well known. Yeah, no, yeah. Okay.
And let's see, why don't you go ahead?
All right, let's see. I have a record cut, part of our record series of actors you don't think of as singers, and this was a famous actress, a famous beauty, actually, and a very well-known actress from the, 50s and 60s, primarily. You want to play it, Debbie?
It's really love that found its way here. Oh, how am I to know? Will it linger on and leave me there? This strange happiness.
Okay, what famous movie star who I don't remember being in any musicals?
Yes.
She wasn't?
She wasn't. It was one.
Oh, she was in one. Well,
yeah.
Obscure one, I assume. Huh?
No.
No? Okay. Mm. Okay. Anyway, she's not known for her singing,
no,
that's for sure.
This is true.
She's known for her acting and her beauty. And who was it?
Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, it's Ruhama in San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi, the first Superman didn't fly?
No,
that's not it.
No, no.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Good guess, though.
He had to be super in some way.
Oh, he had a lot of the super powers.
But was he missing one crucial superpower?
No. Although he did not, he could not leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Oh.
He did something similar, but anyway, it's a very much more essential difference than the first original Superman and the one we all know.
He wasn't from Krypton, he was from Canarsie?
No.
All right. All right. Let's see here. We all know about the UN peacekeeping troops that are stationed all around the world. What was the first and longest UN peacekeeping mission? They are still there. This goes back to the 1940s, by the way. They are still there.
This is, okay.
What was the first and longest UN peacekeeping mission started in the 1940s?
Is it come out of the Second World War, or was it something separate?
No, in an indirect way, but it's not. Yeah, it wasn't. No, not exactly.
Not Berlin.
No, not Berlin.
I don't know.
Okay.
Is it a major country?
Yes.
Switzerland.
No, not yet, anyway. What was the first and longest UN peacekeeping mission? The troops are still, you still are a UN peacekeepers still there, and it started in the 1940s.
Does it make any sense that they would be there now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, okay.
So, and the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, thanks. You know, having recently seen Man of Steel, Superman is very much in my brain. Wild guess, is it possible that the first proto-Superman didn't have another identity? He wasn't Clark Kent, didn't have a day job?
Oh, no. That's a good guess.
That's an excellent guess, but that... No, that's a very good guess. But that's not the answer. That's not the answer.
All right. I have one other guess about the singer. Just by listening, was it possibly Rita Hayworth?
No, you're in the ballpark, yeah, though, for sure.
That's also a good guess.
Out. Okay, thanks.
Thank
but
you.
Rita
very
Hayworth
much.
Was in a lot of musicals.
But she was always dubbed.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, always.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no,
oh.
She never used her real theme.
Really?
Yeah.
News to me.
Yeah.
An interesting fact in the Superman saga is that. I don't remember which one was a writer and which one was the same, but I think Siegel, Jerry Siegel, was the writer, and he used to write love poems in school to a girl named Lois, who wouldn't give him the time of day. Interesting. Yeah.
So they laughed when he sat down to write his comic book.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, it's Peter England Park.
Hi, Peter.
So Bullwinkle went to way below normal.
Was that the rival school or the school? I don't know. I think it. Yeah, it appeared. I think so.
I'm remembering a college involved. I can't remember who went.
Oh, it was Frostbite? They had the football game or
Frostbite Falls
and way below normal. Maybe it wasn't way below. I know way below normal was in it though.
College that I'm remembering from the show is What's the Matter You?
Right. What's the Matter You?
That sounds like a Marx Brothers college.
I've got a question about the current presidential cabinet.
Yes.
There's something happening at cabinet meetings now that haven't happened for 50 years.
Hasn't happened for 50 years.
The president is in attendance. No.
Does it hasn't happened for 50 years. Is it that there are no women in the cabinet now?
No.
There are women in the cabinet.
It has to do with the relationships of the people that sit down at the table.
The relationships. The relationships.
Is the shape of the table or the seating arrangement different? No.
The relationships. You mean in a familial way? I mean,
yes.
Familial way.
They're not allowed to fraternize with each other outside of the cabinet meetings?
Is there one cabinet member who's related to another?
Yes.
Oh. A married couple?
No.
You just have to think of the
entire father and a son. It's not a...
No.
Is it two brothers?
Yes.
Oh, my. Who could this be?
Do you know the whole cabinet?
Not by heart. No, not. They've changed a little bit recently.
Talking Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of State.
Oh, Kerry?
Mm-hmm.
Kerry and...
Who's Commerce?
No, wait a minute. There's a new Commerce Secretary, isn't there?
There is right now an acting
secretary,
and that's the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Let me think. Wait a minute now. No, I can't think of who it is. I'm sorry.
It's John Kerry's younger brother, Cameron Kerry.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, really? I never heard of him.
Okay.
And there haven't been brothers sitting at the cabinet table since John and Robert Kennedy.
Cameron Kerry.
He's just acting Commerce Secretary, right?
He was general counsel to the Commerce Department, appointed by Obama, and is filling in until the final approval of the new secretary.
What was he before he was in the Commerce Department? Do you know?
He was in his brother's campaign.
Okay. Oh, interesting. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night, guys.
Good night. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a question.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the first ice cream cone? What state invented the first ice cream cone?
Oh.
I think the first ice cream cone was at the World's Fair. Am I at all right about that?
Which World's Fair, though? Chicago?
I think it's the one in St. Louis.
No.
It's not Missouri, so it's not St. Louis.
Yeah, Missouri.
It is Missouri.
Oh.
Yeah.
1903. I just seem to remember there were a lot of things that came up for the first time there. So it was Missouri, but you said it wasn't St. Louis.
What?
You said, I'm sorry, it was Missouri, but it wasn't St. Louis. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I think I know
the Kansas City.
Well,
yeah, it was Missouri, yeah.
Right. I don't think I can go much farther than Missouri in 1903.
She only asked for the state anyway, I think.
Okay.
She didn't ask for the city.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't know the city then, right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Okay,
great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to guess St. Louis is where the first opera house was.
No.
Okay.
And let's see, whose turn is it here? It's your turn, Jerry.
Again?
Yes.
Gosh, okay. What country was the first to feature a dog on a postage stamp?
I think it was Canada. Didn't they have a dog that was featured on a Newfoundland who was featured on a...
it was Newfoundland.
Yeah, but that's not a separate country. That's just a province of Canada.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, so Canada overall.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Very good. Okay, I'll give you another quick one here if I have one. What three musical instruments are pictured on the U.S. quarter honoring Tennessee?
Ooh.
What three musical instruments are pictured on the U.S. quarter, the new ones, honoring Tennessee?
Jew's harp.
No, hardly.
Well, that's a frontier instrument, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, I guess so.
How about a banjo?
No.
Not a banjo.
Good guess.
Okay. All right. Re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re
honoring Tennessee.
All right. I don't think I have a Tennessee quarter in my pocket. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Was the singer actress Shelley Winters?
No, she was featured a couple weeks ago, but no, it wasn't Shelley Winters. Much more glamorous.
Okay, and is one of the instruments a guitar?
Yes.
A guitar,
yes.
There you go.
Two to go.
Okay, and I have a question for you.
Sure.
Which cult film star had a cameo on The Sopranos?
Cult film star.
Well, not star, but yeah, I guess star. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a star of a cult film.
You mean as a running character or just one time?
One time.
Oh.
What kind of cult film is it?
Or
you're talking about one specific cult film, sort of, right?
One specific cult film.
Yes. What can you sort of give us a general idea what kind of cult film? There are a lot of cult films, and it's...
Well, that would give it away.
I really didn't watch The Sopranos, so I just have to guess wildly. But if you...
Well, let's say that it's been revived at the Castro as part of the Mark Huestis Productions.
As part of the what?
Oh, okay.
The Rivals at the Castro.
So it's...
Mark Huestis,
is it a woman?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's think about this for a minute. So somebody like the girl from The Bad Seed, maybe?
That's correct.
Oh.
How'd you get that?
Just because I'm trying to think of the film.
Patty McCormick.
Patty McCormick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
She played the mother of Adriana.
Oh, interesting.
You know that show very well.
I know The Bad Seed. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, I have a... There are 1, 2, 3 films that won the Oscar for Best Film for that particular year, whose titles are taken from poetry.
Oh, the same year.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the names of the films, and I want you to tell me the poet provided that the title.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So number one, From Here to Eternity.
Okay, wait. Okay.
Number two, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
And number three, Chariots of Fire. So there are three Oscar winners for Best Picture whose titles were taken from poetry. And what I want you to do is tell me the poet who is responsible. Number one, From Here to Eternity. Number two, No Country for Old Men. And number three, Chariots of Fire. And they're all extremely well-known poets. You want to guess on any of these?
Well, no, they'd just be a hideously wild guess.
Well, that's all right.
Are they classic poets?
Yeah. Well, classic in what sense?
Well, Yeats or, someone like that.
Yes, they're classic in that sense.
Yeah,
yes. They're not ancient Greek or anything like
that. No, okay. Well, Chariots of Fire does sound a little like a Yeatsian line, but...
That is not Yeats.
No, okay.
All right.
I don't know.
All right, so just once more, there are three winners for the Best Picture Academy Award whose titles are taken from poems by famous poets. Number one, From Here to Eternity. Number two, No Country for Old Men. Number three, Chariots of Fire. Who are the poets? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Yazid. How are you?
Good.
You're very good. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
First, there is one state in the U.S. where a man can beat his wife as long as he does it only once a month.
Come on.
Well, there are a lot of old laws on the books. It's possible.
I was surprised.
Oh, God.
Okay, there is.
What made you look that up in the first place? That's what I'd like to know.
You're thinking of moving there?
I think any man who hit a woman is not a man altogether. I would never do it because I was afraid she'd hit me back.
That's right.
But there is such a stupid, they call them stupid laws. So maybe one of your audience can go through that. If you look at stupid laws, many, many stupid laws, even in California, and that one is in that state.
Yeah.
Second question I have, if you look at the periodic table, you find all of the 92 elements that exist naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You find every letter of the alphabet except one.
Well,
like H for for hydrogen, HE for helium.
Right.
X is what?
But there's
X
one letter you will never find in the periodic table.
X is what? Xenon? Is that it?
Well, you can find X. Yeah.
That's X. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, X. You can find X.
I'll say Z. Or is there zirconium? Is that one?
No, there is zirconium.
Yeah. Okay.
And zinc. And zinc.
Zinc,
of
course. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you?
Is it J? Is it J by any chance?
What? It is J. How did you know?
I read it
well,
someplace.
Well, it's an obscure letter, yeah.
I read it someplace.
Somewhere. You're clever, guys. Okay, we'll leave the other questions into your audience to answer about the state that a coward man can beat his wife once a month only.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. only on this show will you hear questions like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Happily.
While wearing his white T-shirt. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Richard in Palo Alto.
Hi, Richard.
I'm guessing the UN Peacekeeping Force one. Is it Kashmir?
It is Kashmir. Very good. Yes, India and Pakistan.
Great.
Very good.
Okay, thanks. Bye now.
Thank you. Yes. The first and longest U.S. peacekeeping mission is in Kashmir. So, very good. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Nathan from Berkeley.
Hi, Nathan.
Let's see, a couple things. I think the original Superman was not affected by kryptonite.
I don't think that's correct. It's not the answer I have.
All right.
I think it was something else, not kryptonite. Kryptonite came in the final comic strip. There was some kind of a that he was affected by something, but
ah, there was something that blocked it. Okay.
No, this is even bigger, a bigger reason.
I remember reading that.
Oh, okay. You may be right, but that's not the answer I have.
Yeah. Okay. The other, I have a question that sort of goes along with your first, which is, what's the oldest capital city in the United States?
You mean the oldest city that happens to be a capital, or the oldest capital city?
The city that has been a capital the longest.
I want to say Santa Fe, New Mexico.
No, that's
say,
right.
I was
yeah, that's
say
right.
That
Very
say.
Good. Yeah, because yeah. it was a capital under the Spanish.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry?
Well, this Superman question. Superman began... the original Superman was very different in one essential way than the Superman we all know from Action Comics. What was that difference? And the other one is, what were the three musical instruments pictured on the U.S. quarter honoring Tennessee? One caller got the guitar. I'm looking for two more.
It's not the banjo either, because I'd guess.
No, that. You said banjo, no. And then I'm still looking for the name of the actress we heard singing earlier that's not known as a singer.
All right. And what two very famous stage and movie stars were first offered the leads in the Broadway musical My Fair Lady?
That's such a tantalizing question. Can you give us a little bit of a...
It's hard. They're very established, well-known stars
well,
at
yeah,
the
but
time.
That's pretty broad.
And they're both on stage and movies.
So the show was in 54, so it's a yeah. mid-50s personality.
Right, yeah. right. So what two very famous stage and movie stars were first offered the leads in the Broadway musical My Fair Lady?
How about, I'll take a chance, Fred Astaire?
No, an interesting guess.
Yeah.
And I give you, let's see, three of the Academy Award winners for Best Picture are taken from, the titles are taken from poetry. And they are From Here to Eternity, No Country for Old Men, and Chariots of Fire. Tell me the poets who are responsible for those titles. They're all extremely well-known poets of the last 150 years.
Poets only, not playwright and poet.
I went both. Yes, they wrote in poetry and prose. And firsts, I gave you a list of firsts in the United States. The first, let's see, did you get the... Oh, I think somebody did get the Ferris wheel. Okay, that's gone. So all we're looking for is what city would you have found the first aquarium in the United States? And in what city would you have found the first opera house in the United States? So the first aquarium and the first opera house in the United States, what cities would you have found those in? And the first song to win the Academy Award for both Best Song and the Grammy Award for Best Song Written for Visual Media... what was that song? It was from the 1960s. Again, it was the first song to win both the Academy Award for Best Song and the Grammy Award for Best Song Written for a Visual Medium. It's from the 1960s. So it's not a song I hear revived that much anymore, but it was a big hit at the time.
You know, I can't think of any, going back to the My Fair Lady question, I can't think, I'm sorry, it's got me upset.
I know, you're going to stop.
I can't think of any stars at that period that were also known. I think of a lot of movie stars, but they were not known as stage stars. That's what's got me boggled.
Well, when you hear the answer,
okay,
understand.
All right, okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. No Country for Old Men is by William Butler Yeats.
That is correct.
Oh, I got Yeats, but I got the wrong one.
You got the wrong one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought the UN was founded in the 1950s, so how could there be UN?
No, the UN was founded in 1945.
What was the stuff going on in San Francisco in the early 50s?
Oh, well, the UN was founded in San Francisco in 1945.
But there was something, never mind, that we just had the 50th anniversary of, like, or 60th, like 1952 or something.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay, and then... I thought of another movie whose title comes from...
poetry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Splendor in the Grass.
Oh. No, but that didn't win the Academy Award for Best Picture.
I know. I'm asking you a question.
Oh, I see.
What is the source?
Category called I Thought of a...
Oh, you thought of it. Okay, fine.
Splendor in the Grass.
It's an English poet, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
Wordsworth.
Oh, an hour of
It's Wordsworth.
It is Wordsworth. Very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good job. Good night. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Parnells.
Hello, Big Radul.
Hey, on that Tennessee coin, what was guessed so far?
Just the guitar. Just the guitar.
And a banjo, and I was wrong.
My banjo is not right.
How about violin or a fiddle?
Fiddle is one.
Very good.
One more. This is a less obvious one.
Drums?
No.
No. I have a question about the movie The Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
Can you name the seven actors who played The Magnificent Seven?
You're rolling the ball right down Dana's alley.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen.
Telly Savalas.
Charles Bronson, not Telly Savalas. Oh. Brad Dexter, Robert Vaughn, James Coburn. How many is that? I don't know.
Six.
So I just need... Oh, Horace Buchholz.
Right.
Okay.
Geez, most people always have problems with Brad Dexter, but I guess Horace Buchholz pretty well unknown as Brad Dexter.
Right.
And any of them still alive?
Well, Robert Vaughn is the only one, I think.
He's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's all I had.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, here's a question you should like, Jerry. Can you name all the composers who have Broadway theaters named after them right now?
Well, the Gershwin, of course.
Right.
The Sondheim.
Yes.
How many are there? Not many. I don't think it's
one, two, three, four.
Four. Two more.
Yes.
Oh, gee. Gershwin, Sondheim. Composers.
Yes.
I don't think any are named for lyricists. Well, Sondheim is a lyricist.
Well, the Gershwin is actually named after George and Ira.
Yeah,
supposedly.
Okay. All right, yeah. Two more, huh? I'll get it by the end of the show.
All right.
So don't answer any calls.
So, so name all the Broadway theaters. Please give the names of the Broadway theaters that are named after composers. Jerry got the Sondheim and the Gershwin. What are the other two? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Is that me?
It is you.
Sorry. Let me lower the radio. Okay, for the Tennessee coin, the third instrument is, it's either a trumpet or a trombone. I'm not sure, but
trumpet.
I've got the coin.
Trumpet. It's a trumpet.
A very trumpet? Good. I would never have guessed that.
Okay, yeah. Great. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another theater would be the Richard Rogers Theater.
Yes,
of course.
Richard Rogers. Yeah. So you just have one. Yeah. The most difficult one is left.
Of course.
And I have to honestly say it's somebody that I'm not familiar with.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
is it an older theater?
I'm not sure how old the theater is.
You don't know that you're not familiar with this person?
No, I'm not off the top of my head, no.
Wow.
I'm not.
Okay, so, that's interesting.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
So I have a couple answers, I hope, and then a couple questions for you guys.
Okay.
This is Whitney in San Francisco.
Hi, Whitney.
Is the best song Jesus Christ Superstar?
It is not Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh. The Opera House in New Orleans?
It is New Orleans. Very good. 1859.
And the Superman question, was it because he was blonde?
No, he was not blonde.
That's pre-Aryan.
No. He may have been. I don't know if he was he blonde? I don't know. That's not the answer I have, no.
Okay, I think he was blonde. We'll just
It's not a physical feature, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so the two questions I have for you are, what are the two top-selling or most popular alcoholic beverages in the world?
The brand name?
No, not brand name.
Just a generic name, kind of. A type of liquor, you mean, kind of thing?
No, not a type of liquor. What you would order if you went into a bar to drink one.
Okay.
So it's not Seagram's, it's not vodka or something like this.
Cognac?
Say it again?
Cognac.
Nope.
Well, I guess I want to say beer is one.
Beer's the top one.
All right.
The second one is surprising.
Okay.
And the other question I have for you, and then I'll let other callers come on, is on the first waffle iron, what was the religious figure depicted on it? Waffle iron being a kind of a loose term, but a pressed two parts of a mechanism that you put a batter in and then press down and then cook.
There was a religious figure that was on top of it.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was
an image of a religious figure, I guess.
Yep.
Well, maybe it was used to make matzahs. So was that a Jewish religious figure?
Technically, that's a tough question. I wouldn't presume to answer that one.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm looking for a specific name.
Okay.
Is this religious figure, would it be as well known in the, well, maybe you wouldn't know this, in the Jewish religion as in the Christian religion, for instance?
For sure. World over, for sure.
World over. Okay. All right.
And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks, guys. Great show.
All right. Thank you. Oops.
No, well, we don't know the answer.
I don't know the other one for the.
We'll just have to guess.
What was the first question? I forgot what it was now. I'll think of it in a second. All right. And Jerry, I think it's your turn, by the way.
Okay. New York City hospitals are bracing for up to 30% increase in births in late July and early August. Why?
Well, August, there are more births in August than any other month.
No, that's
I
not
know
the
that.
Reason. This is more specific than that.
Is it because of the... No, is it the hurricane and the blackout in New York City where the lower part of Manhattan was...
Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
In the words of Luke...
What else was there to do kind of thing?
Well, I'll give you his exact quote, which is great. In the words of St. Luke's Hospital Director of Gynecology, quote, there was no cable in it and no internet. What else was there to do? You got it almost exactly right. Very good.
You reach for anybody in the dark, I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like the blackout in 1965 when I was there. Yeah.
And, it's like 2 o'clock at the bar, you know. let's see. It's 415-841-4134. And again, the number here with a question or answer is 415-841-4134.
Now, again, about these composers at theaters.
Yes, there's one left.
And you said you've never heard of this person.
I'm not familiar with
him. Have you heard of the theater?
I have heard of the theater.
So this must be like a 1900 character.
And you might be able to correct me on this, but this was listed as these were all composers. So I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I will... Verify it or not.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wait a minute. One second here. Let me just look at this for a second. There are three crosses on the Union Jack, the British flag. Each cross represents a different saint. Who are the three saints?
On the Union Jack?
There are three crosses that intersect on the Union Jack, the British flag. Each cross represents a different saint.
I couldn't be.
Who are the three saints?
I don't know.
Okay.
We need a third panelist.
There are patron saints of the various in Great Britain.
Doesn't help.
Really?
No.
All right.
Okay. I'm not much on saints. I don't know anything about them. I mean, I'm all for them.
Don't
misunderstand me.
All right.
I just don't.
Not bad in their place, but...
It's not in my wheelhouse
information. Again, there are three crosses on the British flag, the Union Jack. They represent three different saints, patron saints. And who are they? The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter every Sunday at 7 p.m. at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, hi. This is Eve in Oakland.
Hi, Eve.
Hi. Someone got the New Orleans question about the Opera House stuff. But I have another one. The aquarium, was that in New York City?
It was New York City. Very good.
I was going to say that, but...
And then I have a guess at the movie and song.
Yes.
The Way We Were?
Not The Way We Were. It's just a couple years before that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Mind Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Robert in Berkeley.
Hi, Robert.
Looking for maybe even three bells. The first I probably won't get, the cross of St. Andrew, the cross of St. George, and maybe the cross of St. Nigel.
You're two out of three.
Yeah, I think Nigel's a little weak. Okay. The other two, I think, Jerry's super-man question. Mm-hmm. I think what you're looking for is that the character was evil and used his powers for self-aggrandizement. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Very good.
But the other detail is that neither blonde nor brunette, he was bald, depicted as a bald figure.
Oh,
ominous, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was called The Reign of Superman. The first story, the story.
Oh.
Yeah, and he was a villain. Very good.
Good.
How did you know that, sir?
There was an article in The New Yorker recently.
That's where I got the question. Very good. Okay.
You don't have to dig too deep to find out where we get our questions here. Go ahead.
My third try is Chariots of Fire from, William Blake's Jerusalem. Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire.
Yes.
Bring me my spear. Oh, clouds, unfold. Bring me my chariot, singular, of fire.
Very good.
You deserve a second bell for reciting it.
Very good.
Okay, good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
All right. Well, would the My Fair Lady be one of them be Sir Laurence Olivier?
Not Sir Laurence Olivier. That's actually a pretty good guess.
Excellent guess.
But no.
And then the twice awarded song, would that be Mrs. Robinson?
Not Mrs. Robinson.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much.
But would the actress then be Vivian Leigh?
It would not be Vivian Leigh.
Oh.
No. No.
Good guess, though, I think.
Yes. These are both...
You said not necessarily British either. Meaning
no,
probably not.
No,
they're not British.
At least 50% of this is not British.
I can't wait for the answer.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Ruth in Berkeley. You were wanting the theater named for a composer. You have one left, right?
Yes.
Schubert.
No, it's not. It's not named after that Schubert. It's named after the Schubert brothers.
The producers. Yeah, that's a good guess.
Impresarios.
Bye. Yeah, bye. Good guess though.
Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
I think that's Schubert with a SCH. The Schubert brothers were SH. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's
Lee and Jake.
Lee
and Jake Schubert.
Lee and JJ.
JJ.
I think there were three actually.
They were widely reviled, weren't they?
Yes, just like the Warner Brothers. All brother acts.
Very tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Types.
No, I think one was known as a good guy and one was, anyway, not.
Jake was the bad one, I think.
I don't know.
All right. And let's see, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, this is Bob in Berkeley.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy, I got your three patron saints, but I think you've already got two of the three.
We have St. George and St. Andrew. What else do you have?
Let's go for St. Patrick for the third one.
You're absolutely right.
Excellent.
You bet. All righty. Lovely show.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
So one is Irish and one is English and one is...
English, Irish, and Scottish.
And what's the Scottish one?
St. Andrew.
St. Andrew's, of course.
Nearly like the golf
course. The golf course,
St. Andrew's.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Nothing from Wales, huh?
No, strangely enough, at least not on the flag that I know of. Let's see. Do you have something quick you want to throw in?
Well, okay, because you'll knock it off in a second. What president first instituted the income tax? Maybe you won't. If not, I'll.
It happened in the teens, I think. So I think it was Woodrow Wilson.
No.
It was not Woodrow. Okay.
No.
It was 1912. It was around 1912, 1913. So maybe it was Taft.
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll hold it over. So if you don't know it.
Okay.
Maybe some can call in.
All right. And let's see. If we have a couple minutes left in the show, if you want to give us a quick call, 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it I?
It is you.
Theaters, I'm not sure I heard all of them. Is Hammerstein one of them?
He's not a composer, though.
He's a lyricist.
Well, he was.
Well, unless you're talking about the Hammerstein, who was like the Hammerstein theater impresario.
His grandfather was a producer.
Right.
Okay.
William Hammerstein.
Jerry had, could that might have been Loretta Young?
Oh, the
no,
actress
it wasn't,
who
no,
was
that's
singing.
A, that's a good guess. No, it was not. Same era, though.
Okay. And how about the possible My Fair Lady male stars? Richard Harris or Richard Burton?
No, neither one.
Ah, okay. Another time.
All right, thank you very much.
It's a little early for them, I think. Richard Burton wasn't known.
Not too early for Richard Burton, probably, but Richard Harris, yes.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
I called with the Saints, but I heard someone else guess it. So I have a guess for the My Fair Lady male lead.
There's your bell anyway. Go ahead.
Thank you. Would it be Peter O'Toole?
Not Peter O'Toole.
Okay,
early for him.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call.
The state that allows despicable men to beat their wife is Arkansas.
Arkansas, okay.
I was going to say Alabama, but I don't ever like
Arkansas.
To.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, let's see here. Is there anything I can throw in very quickly? I might hold this over till next week. But you want to take a guess, a quick guess on... What's the percentage of the whole population overall, the percentage of the entire U.S. population with at least one tattoo?
Say that again?
What is the percentage of the whole U.S. population with at least
one of those answers I don't want to know.
One tattoo.
10%.
That's pretty good. I'll give it to you. It's 14%.
Okay.
All right. There you go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, it's me.
It is you.
I got a guess for the income tax. Abraham Lincoln.
You got it.
Oh my goodness.
To pay for the Civil War.
Oh, yeah. The first income. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't last though. It came back later in the era that you were talking about. But Lincoln was the first. Very good.
Good job. Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Is the actor for My Fair Lady Yul Brynner?
It is not Yul Brynner.
Okay, thanks.
All right, I guess we should sort of start to clean up here. Jerry, what do you...
Well, my only cleanup is guessing the name of the actress we heard singing, which was Ava Gardner.
Mm-hmm. She did sing...
What was the movie you said she sang?
Well, she did Showboat. She played the Julie Laverne.
Wasn't she dubbed in that?
She recorded everything in her own singing voice, and then they decided it wasn't good enough, and they dubbed it over.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it sounds fine to me.
So. Oh, that's right, Showboat, of course. Okay, that's all.
Is that it for you?
Yeah, that's
it. I thought you had something else. You sure?
Well, I guess the Lincoln one and everything else, yeah.
Okay.
Superman.
The Broadway theaters that are named after composers, Richard Rodgers, Stephen Sondheim, George Gershwin, and John Golden.
I was going to say Golden because I know there's a theater and I don't know what he was.
What did he do? Did you know?
I thought he was a producer. I didn't know he was a composer.
Well,
are you sure?
Listed under composers.
Well, maybe he was. I don't know.
I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
The first song to win the Academy Award for both Best Song and the Grammy Award for Best Song written for a visual medium, that's The Windmills of Your Mind. Windmills of Your Mind, that's from 1968. And Jerry's been waiting for this. What two famous stage and movie stars were first offered the leads in My Fair Lady, the stage production? Noel Coward and Mary Martin.
That makes sense.
They both turned it down.
That makes sense.
And Noel Coward recommended Rex Harrison because he said Rex Harrison was the second best light comedian in the world next to him. So the second best light comedian in the world next to Noel Coward. So, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Naughton and myself, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks, of course, to Debbie Kennedy, the lovely and talented Debbie Kennedy, and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones tonight. And above all, our thanks to you, as I said before. Have a wonderful week. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Joshua Cosman will be here next Sunday, so bring your classical music questions. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't being, it's frank. It's got to be this or that.